Same with this side?
I could sit back here and I could take it. I'm
yeah,
not sure
I'm
what the
gonna take
policy is.
Agmar same time, everybody. A good year. I'm Atzoy Yom Kippur. Rav Soloveitchik always used to say Kiddush Levana right away after Ma'ariv, and he used to explain that on Matzoy Tisha B'Av you have to wait till after you put on your shoes and after you eat because you're in a state of Avelus, and Kiddush Levana has to be recited in a state of Simcha. But on Matzoy Yom Kippur, even though we didn't eat and even though we're not wearing shoes, we are in a state of Simcha. The whole day is a Yom of Simcha. Mechilas Havainas is a tremendous Simcha. Yeah, every year he would explain. Whenever he, the Nusach of the Tefillah also, he would always explain why he added, why he took off, why he changed the Psukim and so on. He didn't explain it in the middle of the davening, but he would explain it the day before, the day after. Rashi writes in the opening Mishnah in Sukkah that the word Sukkah is al shem haschach. The schach is supposed to make tzel, supposed to make shade. And that's why the Mishnah says that you have to have the schach has to be so much that it should be tzilosa meruba mechamosa. Should be more shade than it is the sun. The pashtas in the Mishnah is a little misleading, a lot misleading. Chamosa meruba tzilosa sounds like it's determined when you're sitting on the ground level, whether you have more shade or you have more sun. The din is not so. To be fair, Shigemara, it depends on the schach. Let's say you take the material of the schach and you see that there's more schach than there is empty holes in between. So even though the sunshine spreads out, and by the time it comes to the ground level where you're sitting, it's going to be more sun than there is shade, it doesn't matter as long as on the schach. It's omer meruba lapar, as long as it's tilos meruba mechamosa on the schach, then it's good. The Aruch HaShulchan says not so, but the Pashta says that it's not correct. They said, someone told me that Rabbi Yashiv said that that's an incorrect statement by the Aruch HaShulchan, and simply is against the Gemara. Gemara is beferish, it depends on the schach, it doesn't depend on the ground level. The Gemara says that there are three requirements that are necessary that the schach should be kosher. Number one has to be gedulei karka, has to have grown from the ground. Number two, it has to be tolosh, can't be attached to the ground. And number three, that it should be enem mekabel tumah. So let's say you have apples or pears, something that grew on a tree, or something that grew from the ground. Let's say you have hay. Hay is meichel behema. Meichel behema is not mekabel tumah. But if you have meichel adam, let's say apples or pears, it's gedulei karka and it's tolosh, but it's a dover hamakabel tumah. The Chumash says that food that's royal achilus adam, meichel behem is not mekabel tumah. Meichel adam is mekabel tumah only if it had hechsher, if you rinsed it off in advance. If you didn't rinse it off, then it's not mekabel tumah. But with respect to the psul schach, it's possible even if you didn't wash it off. So that's a machlokes achrenim. If you have roy some food, gedulei karka, it's roi lachila sodom, and it wasn't washed off, is that possible l'schach min ha-Torah, or is that only possible l'schach min d'rabbanan? What's the difference? Bottom line, possible is possible. So may chapa nafkemina with respect to the din of ma'amid. Ma'amid is a mission like this. Let's say a person has a frame of a bed, and the bed is made from wood. So you have, the wood is gedulei karka and it's tolush. And the bed is mekabel tumah because it's a roi, it's a kli. It's roi lekabel tumah. So I use the frame of the bed to support the schach. The schach itself is bamboo poles, let's say. So the schach is kosher. That's not a problem. But the thing that's holding it up, the thing that's supporting it, is a dover hamekabel tumah. So is there anything wrong with that? So there's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah in the second parak. So there's a machlokes habyuda nachachamim. If he's mamed the schach, he's supporting the schach with the frame of the bed. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's no good. So before you even get into the explanation, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda, how do we paskin? So the din should be yochid v'rabim halachik rab. Whatever the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is, we shouldn't paskin like him anyway, because he's the minority opinion. We always paskin like the majority. So there is an obscure, one of the rare rishonim is machma like Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara gives two explanations. So one explanation is that it's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, that there's a machlekes on the first daf in Sukkah, whether a Sukkah has to dafke be diras keva, or a Sukkah has to be dafke diras aroi. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a Sukkah must be diras keva. If it's aroi, it's no good. And the Rabbana hold just the reverse, the Sukkah has to be diras aroi. If it's keva, it's no good. It's interesting, Dorach Laner on the first daf in Sukkah points out, or Laner is a commentary on Gemara's Sukkah, the Dorach Laner points out that 98% of all the Sukkahs in the world are good, because Rabbi Yehuda declares that they're Diras Keva, and that's why they're good. And Rabbanan say, no, 98% of the Sukkahs are Diras Aroi, and that's why they're good. The exact same Sukkah, 98% of all the Sukkahs in the world, Rabbanan hold that it's good because it's not Diras Keva, because it's Diras Aroi. Yehuda holds that, no, it's good because it is Diras Keva. 1% of all the Sukkahs in the world are really Keva al-Chol Adeh. So the Rabbana would say that it's possible. That's why we paskin that a Sukkah that's Gevoy L'mayle Meser Mamo is Psula. So the Gemara in the first daf in Sukkah gives three different explanations. So one of the explanations is that if it's going to, the Schach is going to be held up L'mayle Meser Mamo, by definition, it's going to have to be a Diras Keva, and that's why it's no good. And then sometimes you have a wobbly sukkah that, let's say you have a sukkah on top of a sukkah, and you want to sit in the upper sukkah, and the floor of the upper sukkah is the schach of the bottom sukkah. It's going to be very wobbly. It's going to be shaky. The whole thing is going to be shaky. So according to the Rabbanan, that's okay. Even though it's a diras haroi, it's okay. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, that's absolutely diras haroi because the floor is wobbly and it's not good. A sukkah is only good if it's diras keva. There is a din that one is only chayv and mezuzah if it's a diras keva. If you have a diras haroi, you're not chayv and mezuzah. So that's a machloikis and the Gemara in Yuma, and the first parag in Yuma, daf yad aleph, but the sukkah sachag b'chag is chayev is mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda holds yes. Rabbi Yehuda holds a sukkah has to be a diras keva, and therefore a sukkah sachag b'chag is chayv and mezuzah. Only even though he's only going to stay there for the seven for the duration of 7 days of Sukkot. And we paskin not so that a Sukkot has to be Diras Aroi, and a Diras Aroi is not Chayv and Mezuzah. So again, so there's a Mishnah that has a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. What if you have the Schach is supported by the Kari Hamita, by the four boards that hold the mattress on top of them. The Kari Hamita, the frame of the bed, is a Dovah HaMekabel Tumah, it's a Kli. So what's wrong if it's being supported by the Kari Hamita? So the Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, so the simple pshat Rabbi Yehuda, that is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, that a sukkah has to be diras keva, and if it's being supported by the frame of the bed, it's too flimsy, and it's a diras haroi, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds it, it's no good. If that's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, it's out of the question, we cannot paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because on the first daf, we paskin suk zachag b'chag, is not chayev es mezuzah because it's diras haroi, and we paskin a sukkah where the schach is held up l'mayle meser mamah is no good because l'mayle meser mamah by definition is a diras keva, and a diras keva is pasul for schach, the pasul for sukkah. So if the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is because this schach that's supported by the frame of the bed is going to be flimsy sukkah, then we can't accept Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Then the Gemara has another explanation, Rabbi Yehuda. But the Pashto says you shouldn't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, whatever the reason is, because Yochid v'Rabim Halacha k'Rab. But according to the second Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda, so there is a minority, Shabbat minority opinion, who passes like Rabbi Yehuda. The second reason for Rabbi Yehuda is that if the Sukkah is being supported with Kari Hamita, with the frame of the bed, that's no good because you're Mamed b'schach posel. You're not allowed to be Mamed b'schach posel. What kind of a did is that? What's wrong if you're Mamed b'schach posel? So that looks like a machlokes Rashi and the Ran. Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? So Rashi on the Gemara in the second parak, when the Gemara explains the reason for Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, that if the schach is supported by the frame of the bed, it's no good. Rashi says, the thing that holds up the schach is the ikar of the sukkah. So if that's Dabar HaMekabel Tumah, just like if the Schach is Dabar HaMekabel Tumah, it's no good. So if the Mamid is Mekabel Tumah, it's also no good. So from Rashi, it sounds as if it's a real Din D'oraisa. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel points out. But we don't paskan like that, Rashi. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is the Ran on the Rif says that if you're Mamid, if you support the Schach with something that's no good for Schach, so then it's no good midrabbanan gzeira. If you'll allow people to hold up the schach with the dovah hamakabel tumah, they may misunderstand. The next thing you know, one person will tell the rabbi to another person will tell the rabbi to another person, and it'll be lost in transmission. And people will think that you can use dovah hamakabel tumah for schach. It's a chumrah midrabban. So in the Shulchan Aruch, there seems to be a contradiction. In one place, the Shulchan Aruch says that if the schach is held up with the Dovah HaMekabel Tumah, it's not a problem. And the other place, if you see Manam away, the Shulchan Aruch said that it's no good. So the commentaries explain, the Iker HaDin, it really is good. And you can say Brocha and the Sukkah also 100% kosher. There's a Chumrah. If people are in the practice of looking for Chumrah, so there is a minority opinion, Paschans like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you have the Mamid is a Dovah HaMekabel Tumah, So you can't support that. So that's a shaila that we have on all the sukkahs now. You have a metal frame. A metal frame is no good for schach min haTorah because it's karka. You have to have gidule karka. Metal is considered karka mamish, not gidule karka. Gidule karka means wood or hay, something that grows from the ground. But metal is considered karka itself. It's an ore. So if you have a metal frame, and then you have the schach resting on the metal frame, so that's mamid. So all the sukkahs are kosher, but you're not satisfying this chumrah that the Shulchan Aruch recommend. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, who quotes from the Ramban in the Melchamas. The Ramban has this commentary on the bottom of the Rif. So the Ramban and Melchamas says that only mamid is possible. If it's mamid, then it is good. So the Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says like this: if you have a metal frame, so the metal is karka. It's no good for schach min haTorah. So if you put four beams on the four sides of the sukkah on top of the metal frame, then you have schach supported by the four wooden beams. So the Magen Avraham considers that mamid the mamid. The metal is holding up the four wooden beams, and the wooden beams are holding up the schach kosher. So that's good. So this is what everybody followed since the late 1600s, when the Magen Avraham published his commentary. Everybody was mekel till the Chazon Ish came along. So the Chazon Ish said that this is a misreading of the Ramban. That doesn't make any sense. Let's say I'll have metal frame, and then I'll put a thick schach, half a foot thick of bamboo, twigs, of all kinds of twigs there. So why do I say that the metal frame is supporting the twig? Say that the bottom, let's say I have a half of 6 inches. Say the bottom 3 inches are supporting the upper 3 inches. The upper 3 inches are enough schach kosher to give tzilosim ruba mechamasa. And the bottom 3 inches are schach kosher, so it's mamid de mamid. The metal frame is holding up the bottom 3 inches of the schach. Bottom 3 inches are supporting the upper 3 inches. So every time you have schach kosher supported by schach kosel, divide the schach kosher into two. Say the bottom part makes it into mamid de mamid. So yes, you can't say that. So the same over here. What does it help that you put four wooden beams on the four sides, the four sides of the sukkah, then you put the schach kosher on top? The four wooden beams with the schach kosher is all schach kosher. You can't divide it in half. So the Chazon Ish says, the sukkah is kosher because we paskan that mamid doesn't bother us. But if you want to satisfy that chumrah, you haven't accomplished anything by putting four beams. You have to have a separate frame. You have to have a wooden frame. That's a big pain in the neck. People usually have the metal frames because they're going to hold up canvas walls. So the canvas walls are going to be held onto the metal frames. So if you're going to have a wooden frame, it's going to cost you a fortune. So a lot of people spend a fortune of money in order to satisfy this chumrah of the Chazon Ish. But the Chazon Ish himself says that the whole thing is only a chumrah. Mikar HaDin is the kosher, is kosher. The sukkah is kosher without it, and you can say a brocha on the sukkah. We paskin that it's kosher. How do I know that we paskin like the Ran, not like Rashi, that this din of Mamed is only midirabbanan, only exer the rabbanan, because in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Ran, who says like this. Let's say in my backyard, we have brick walls. I have the brick wall of my apartment and the brick wall of the next apartment, parallel to each other, and then you can have the schach supported by the two brick walls. So bricks are no good for schach because bricks are made from sand. So that's karka mamish, and that's pasul min haTorah. So would you say that if the schach is being supported by bricks, that the whole sukkah is no good because mamid is schach pasul? So the Ran says, no, everybody knows that you can't make schach from bricks. That's beso shalkalo shanakul. Everybody knows that. Not everybody knows it din of kidun the karka and obishani makabal tumah. But bricks, everybody knows is not good. You have to say mediras keva. You have to go into a sukkah. You can't sit in a house that's made from bricks. So if the bricks are supporting the schach, you don't have to worry about mamid, because there's no chashash over there that someone will think that you can make the schach from the bricks. So we pass in la halacha like the Ran, that the whole din of mamid is only a chumra midirabbanan. It's not really a diminator. So that leads to the next question. Does it make sense to make a gzeira de rabbanan if you're choshesh for this din of mamid? Does it make sense to be choshesh for mamid if the whole schach pasul is only made the rabbanan? Take for example, the Rambam learns pshat in the Gemara that if you have, let's say you have a thick cord, like when you send a package pasul post, so they used to wrap it up, they used to tie it with a very thick string. So that string is usually gedule karka. It grows hemp, grows on a bush. But it's nishtana. When you look at it now, we know that it happens, that it knows it grows from the ground. But if someone never saw it before, he doesn't know what it is, he won't be able to guess that it's gedule karka. So the Rambam interprets the Gemara like that, that if you have string that's made from wool, that's posel min haTorah for schach. But if you have string that's made from gedule karka, but it's nishtana, it doesn't look like gedule karka, so that's only posel midirabon. But let's say you actually have two clotheslines. Some people hang up their clothes on a clothesline. And the clotheslines, let's say if the clothesline is a string of metal and it has plastic on the outside. So metal is karka, it's not gedule karka. And the plastic is synthetic material, it's not gedule karka. So that wire, the metal wire with the plastic coating on it, that's pasul for schach min haTorah. So if you have two clotheslines that are metal wires with plastic around it that are supporting the schach, holding the schach up between one and the other, that's called mamid. So then you have the chumre, if you're choshesh for a beauty's opinion, then you have the chumre being mamid the schach pasul min haTorah. But what if the two clotheslines are gedule karka, but it's nishtana, it doesn't look like gedule karka. They made it into string. So then it's only pasul v'schach midirabbanan, the way the Rambam learns the Gemara. According to Rashi and Tosfos, it could be that there is no such din at all. The Rambam learns that that's pshat and Gemara in the end of the first parak. That if you use string, that's gedule karka, neinu mekabel tumah, but it's nishtana mibriyasai, so then it no longer looks like gedule karka, so it's no good midirabbanan. So that's a shaila. Maybe this is a gzeira l'gzeira. Maybe this is a gzeira. The chachamim were goyzer. You shouldn't use this gedule karka, that's nishtana, because people may not realize that it's gedule karka. They'll think that you're allowed to use non-gedule karka. But if you're going to use it for the mamid, so what are you afraid of? Someone may use this as chach, but to use it as chach itself is only possible mid the rabbanan. So maybe I should consider that gzeira l'gzeira. So this is a machlokes in Achronim, explicitly, machlokes in Achronim, whether this is gzeira l'gzeira. The pashtus is, should not be gzeira l'gzeira. Pashtus is gzeira l'gzeira is only if what motivated the Chachomim to make the gzeira d'rabbanan was a concern that they'll violate a din d'rabbanan. So that's not sufficient tzorach to make a gzeira. In order to make a gzeira d'rabbanan, you have to have a tzorach godel. You have a milsa de lo shchicha, you're afraid once in 100 years someone's going to do something wrong. So that's not right. You have no right to make exer because of a far-fetched concern. You have to have a milsa de shchicha, and it should be a concern that someone will do a serious violation. But if the worst that can happen is we're concerned someone's going to violate a din de rabbanan, so that's, it's not right, But it's not that's not sufficient cause to make Gzeira the Rabbanon. But over here, they made two independent dinim the Rabbanon. They made one din the Rabbanon that Gidule Karkash and Ishtana is possible Mischach. Then they made another unrelated din the Rabbanon that if you mamid Mischach possible is no good. So this is not really a Gzeira. This is a trade the Rabbanon. It's like a Shvuz the Shvuz. There's a din on Shabbos that Shvuz the Shvuz is Mutab Mokam Mitzvah. Why is it only Mutab Mokam Mitzvah? You should say Shvuz the Shvuz, Gzeira Gzeira. The answer is it's not Gzeira Gzeira. All the Achronim say like that. The Pre Yeshua and the Svasemans and Rebbe Kivega and the Mishnah Berurah quotes such a Rebbe Kivega. And the Nesivis writes like that. They all write the same thing, that there's a difference between a Shvuz the Shvuz and Gzeira Gzeira. Gzeira Gzeira means if what motivated the Chachamim to make Gzeira the Rabbanon was that they're concerned that someone's going to violate a din the Rabbanon. But if they're motivated, they made a din that Mamid, according to Rabbi Yudah, the Tana, made a din that you can't be Mamid the Schach with Schach Pasel. That's by dinim deraisa. Then it applies to dinim derabbanan as well. Then they made a din, they could do lekaka shenishtano apostle. Each gzera was otu a din deraisa. Here they happened to collide. The two dinim derabbanan happened to join together. So that's a shvuz the shvuz. That's a trade derabbanan. So trade derabbanan is still a binding, still a din. Trade derabbanan is still a din. It's a lower level than a chad derabbanan. That's why shvuz the shvuz b'makam mitzvah is mutter. And shalom b'makam mitzvah is also. And one shvuz is also b'makam mitzvah. A shvuz the shvuz is a lower level the rabbanan. So that's a machlokes in Achrayim. In Mishnah Berurah, there's a stira. Sometimes there's a stira in Mishnah Berurah between one volume and the other of the Mishnah Berurah. So in the three volumes of the called Kisvei HaChofetz Chaim, so one of the volumes that have a biography of the Chofetz Chaim written by one of his sons. That's the official biography that's in the called Kisvei. And the son writes there about the project of writing the Mishnah Berurah, that it was a project that was participated in by different members of the family. He writes that I wrote this section in Mishnah Berurah, my uncle wrote the other section, and that's why there's a contradiction that I paskin like this shita. He points out one contradiction with respect to if a Jew did Malach on Shabbos, but he have to wait on Matoy Shabbos b'chdei she'yasa. If a Nochri did Malach on Shabbos, the Gemara says you have to wait. If Israel did Malacha, so that's a question Rashi and Tosfos, and a question how to pass him. So there's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. So the son of the Chofetz Chaim says that the reason for the stira is because he wrote one volume and he assumed one way, and his uncle wrote the other volume. And the Chofetz Chaim was the overall editor. In fact, it's interesting, Lubavitch was requesting of the Russian government for years that they should return all of the Lubavitcher library that was confiscated by the Russian government when they were under the communists. So after many years, they finally gave them back their library, plus more. They gave them back more than they asked for. So 770 Eastern Parkway by Lubavitch, they have the original manuscript of the Mishnah Berurah handwritten as it was submitted to the printer to set the type. So you can see the different parts of the Mishnah Berurah written in different handwritings, even different color ink. And people who claim that they know the handwriting of the Chofetz Chaim, they say every so often, the Chofetz Chaim added a line here and a line there to give his opinion. And he quoted another pasuk. But every so often, there are contradictions in the Mishnah Berurah. So usually the contradictions are between one section and the other. Like now with this COVID, a lot of people were davening. There were porch minyanim. There were eight people on one porch and three people on the other porch, and they can hear each other, talk to each other, but they're in different rooms. So that's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. So in Hilchas Brichas HaMazon, the whole din about siruv to a minyan is based on a Tshuvas HaRashbo, who learns that from benching mezumen. So the Mishnah sounds like it says in Masechas Brachas that if you have five people in one room, five people in another room, some of them see some of the others. There can be mitzaref to bench mezumen ba'asara. So the Rashba wrote in the tshuva, maybe the same thing applies to davish abigdusha as well. Maybe he's not sure. So the Mishnah Berurah in chelek aleph, when he talks about the tziruf for davish abigdusha, is mekel because he just quotes the shari tshuva next to the behetiv, who quotes the birkei yosef, the classical paskin. That is going to take a long time till this contagious disease is going to go away. and you're going to miss Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu for a couple of weeks, for quite a few weeks. So then there's room to be meikel to say you can be mitzarev from different rooms. In the Mishnah Berurah himself, in the second chelik Mishnah Berurah, when he talks about bench and mezuman, he denies the whole thing. He has a long bir halacha. He contradicts what it says in the chelik aleph in the Mishnah Berurah. Obviously, that was written by somebody else. In the second chelik in the Mishnah Berurah, by bench and mezuman, he writes, even by bench and mezuman, it's no good. Forget about the Rashba had a suffix where it carries over from bench and mezuman to davening, Kaddish Kedusha Baruch. It says, for benching also not. When the Mishnah says that you have half of the people in one room, half of the people in the other room, and Miksosim Roim Elu Eselu, he quotes the Vilna Goyen on Mishnayis, not the Vilna Goyen on Shulchan Aruch. The Bir Agra Mishnayis says it's going in a case where you have 10 people in one room and 10 people in the other room. So what do you need to be a mitzar for the others for? You have already a mezuman of 10. No, because in the days of the Mishnah, in the days of the Gemara, the practice used to be that when you bench mezuman, only one person said the benching and the others just say amen. And usually we don't allow Shemei Kohen by benching, only if you have a mezuman. So the question is, one of the people, in one room there are 10 people, in the other room there are 10 people. Are they mitztarfim yachad, that it's one mezuman, so the 10 in this room can be yotzei by answering amen to the one who's benching mezuman in the other room? But he's saying, no, they have to split up and make a separate mezuman. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Mitzosim rayim elu aseilu. That they mitzarfim to constitute one mezuman as opposed to two mezumanim. But it's not that you give me mitzar five and five, even for benching that. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Vilna Goyen on Mishnayis Brachas. Then he quotes one of the Rishonim says like that, and he thinks we should follow that opinion. So that clearly contradicts what's written in the Chelek Aleph and the Mishnah Berurah. Here, in this issue, if you mamid the schach kosher, with schach that's only possible with the Rabbanon, whether that's Gzeira or Gzeira. So this contradiction is they're both in Hilchas Sukkah. They're just around six pages apart from each other. That's a bigger problem. So it could be that one of them was added on by the Chafetz Chaim and the other one was not. Could be the Chafetz Chaim is the one who changed the psak from the original text of the Mishnah Berurah. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva about this. So he has a sort of a klal. Whenever there's a diun in Achreinim, this is a machlokes in Achreinim in the Steer in the Mishnah Berurah. Whenever there's a machlokes in Achreinim in Rishonim, you only find one way. You don't find the machlokes, and then you follow that opinion. So he says he looked, and in Rishonim, the only one who discusses it is the Ritva on Sukkah. The Ritva is always important on Sukkah. Mishnah Berurah quotes him all the time. So the Ritva on Sukkah says lahakel, that it is called the Gzeira L'Gzeira. I would have thought that it's not. I would have thought that it's a trade the Rabbanah. So Shvuz the Shvuz. But the Chacham Avadi quotes the Ritva on Sukkah says that it's a Gzeira L'Gzeira. There's room to be made. Okay. The Chazanish was, on the one hand, was Machmir. And the Mamed, he thought that if you put the four boards on the four sides of the sukkah and you put the schach supporting that, that's not called Mamed the Mamed, so that's a big chumer. But on the other hand, he has a whopper of a kula that's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch has the following discussion. Person has four walls, let's say he has four boards of a sukkah, and he has the schach, kosher schach, resting on the four boards of the sukkah. But then he's afraid. The sukkah is kosher the way it is. Then he's afraid that if there'll be a big storm, the schach may fall off. As sometimes happens, the schach may fall off from the top of the sukkah. So he puts a heavy ladder on top of the schach to hold it down. So the Mechaber writes that that's called ma'amid, the schach posel. He's not sure whether a ladder is mekabel tumah, because it's a kli that has the shtamshus, but it's pshuti kliyetz, it's flat. So the Vilna Gaon explains what the suffix is there. So the Mechaber has a suffix whether a wooden ladder, if it's a metal ladder, so it's a four, of course it's possible. It's not gedula karka, it's karka mamish. But if it's a wooden ladder, then it's a question if it's a possible schach or not. So the Mechaber assumes that that's called mamid. If you put the possible schach on top of the kosher schach to prevent it from flying off in the wind, that's also called mamet. Let's say a person puts chach on top of the sukkah and is sitting well, but he's afraid the wind is going to blow. So he bangs nails in. He bangs metal nails in so that the chach will not fly off. Everything will stay in place. So he's not using the metal nails as the schach. It doesn't give too much shade, the nails. The schach kosher is giving the shade. The metal nails are preventing it from falling off. So is that called mamin? So the Chazanish thinks that that's not called mamin. Mamin means that if you wouldn't have this mamin, the schach would simply fall down. But if the schach is being held up by the sukkah, by the walls of the tefanis of the sukkah, and the ladder prevents it from becoming puzzled, right now it's kosher without the ladder. It's kosher without the nails. And the nails and the ladder prevent it from becoming puzzled. So he thinks that that's not called mamin. Okay, that's a big kula. Yeah, what is the din? The din is that in a sukkah, you don't really need all the four walls. The Gemara says if you have shtaim kelchosim, ashlishis afilu tefach is also good. But that's only provided you have a right angle to each other. If you have two parallel walls, then there's no din shlishis afilu tefach, then it's much more complicated. But if you have two walls at a right angle to each other, and then the third wall is a tefach sochek, and you put it a little 2.9 tvachim away from this wall, so 2.9 tvachim is less than 3, so you say lovud, and then you have 4 tvachim, so 4 tvachim is a shiur makam. So then if you have shtaim kelchosim, shlishis is 4 tvachim, or 1 tefach, but it's within lovud, so it's considered as if you have 4 tvachim, then it's a kosher sukkah. We don't recommend to rely on that. More correct is to make at least 3 walls. Taisus discusses why shouldn't it be an isra baltesif if you make 4 walls. The Taisus said that's ridiculous. That's not baltesif. You're just adding on. Let's say a person eats more than a concise of matzah by the Seder on Pesach night. It's not a violation of baltesif. The din is you have to have a minimum of a concise. There's no maximum. So by Sukkah also, you have to have a minimum of the walls, 2.5 walls. But there's no maximum. If you have 4 walls, it's not a violation of baltesif. That's certainly okay. So let's say a person only has 3 walls and the fourth side is open. So then he has, the din is that the fanus had to be 10 tvachim tall, minimum of 10 tvachim tall. And the floor has to be a minimum of zayin al zayin tvachim, 49 square tvachim. And the same thing, the schach has to be zayin al zayin tvachim. So if, let's say you have a big sukkah, and in the middle is a big gap where there's no schach at all. So if the gap is less than 3 tvachim, I say lovud. If the gap is 3 tvachim or more, then you can't say lovud, so that separates the sukkah into 2. So then, if the gap is before you have zayin al zayin tvachim, so the whole sukkah is not kosher. Even if if you have 3 walls like this, U-shaped, and the third wall is over here, and then you have a gap over here of 4 tvachim, 3.5 tvachim empty space, 3 tvachim empty space, and you don't even have zayin al zayin here, but here you have more than zayin al zayin. Yeah, but over here you only have 2 walls. On the fourth side, there's no wall at all over here. On this side, there's a wall, but that wall is not, that doifen is not mitzarif to the sukkah over here, the zayin al zayin here, because you have a gap of empty space. So then you have to be careful. Then you have to be careful not to have a gap of gimel tvachim. What if you don't have a gap, avir, but if you have schach posel? Which meshugan is going to put schach posel? So he's not going to put schach posel. The din is that if you have schach posel on top of schach kosher or below schach kosher, so that schach kosher is discounted. A lot of times you have, let's say, a frame of a sukkah, and you have a big chunk of metal, a metal bar in the middle that holds the sukkah together. Or a lot of times you may have some metal wires on top, or you may have some metal, a piece of metal going across from one building to the other, and you built your sukkah right under that metal. So not only is the metal puzzled, even the schach kosher that's below it or above it is also no good. If you have an area where you're sitting in the ground level in the sukkah, you have an area that gets shade from schach kosher and from schach posel, that's no good. There are different opinions in Tosfos, different opinions in Baal HaMor. Some Rishonim say it depends what came first. Sometimes say it depends what's on top and what's on the bottom. We Paskin, it does make a difference what came first, and does make a difference whether the schach kosher is on top or the schach kosher is on the bottom. If you have one area on the ground, any area that's shaded both by schach kosher and schach posel, one on top of the other, so you have to discount all of that schach kosher. You treat that schach kosher as if it were schach posel. So the din is avir, if you have an empty space in the middle of three tvachim, you only say lovet if it's less than three tvachim of avir. But if you have three tvachim or more, then you can say lovet. And if you have schach posel in the middle, it's up until four tvachim. It's good. But once you have four tvachim, solid four tvachim of schach posel, then that breaks the sukkah in half. So again, the same thing. If you have only three walls, then no wall on the fourth side, it's open. And then before you have Zion al Zion Tvachim over here, you already have a four Tvachim wide Havsaka of Schach Pasul. So even though you have Schach Kosher there too, you have to discount it, you have to treat the Schach Kosher as if it were Schach Pasul. So then the rest of the Sukkah, you have much more than Zion al Zion, but the wall over here on this side is not mitzarev to the rest because you have the Havsaka. Either you have a havsaka of avir gimel, or you have a havsaka of schach posel of dalet tvachim. So that's mevatel the tzirah between the doifen over here and the rest of the sukkah over there. Some people had a suggestion that this year, because it's healthier to eat outside, to be outside than to be in the building with other people, within a room with other people. So maybe if you have a sukkah where a few people are going to sit, so maybe instead of making real defanet,
what time is it?
Maybe you should make lovet. Maybe you should only have strings. The Gemara says, strictly speaking, if you have a string within three tvachim to the ground, another string within three tvachim to that string, you have a whole bunch of strings, and each string within three tvachim, everything is fresh air. The air is going in and out. Everything is fresh air. So strictly speaking, that's lovet. Now, the din is that lovet is good whether it's vertical or horizontal. If it's horizontal strings, you don't need vertical, and if it's vertical, you don't need horizontal, as long as each string or each strip or whatever you have is within three tefachim to the other one. That's minat Torah. And then midrabbanan, there's a mishnah at the end of the first perek in Erev, and that there's a chumra midrabbanan in some rare cases in Hilchos Shabbos. Person is traveling by midbar, so then the din is midrabbanan in some rare cases that you need shesi v'erev. You have to have crisscross. Even though in Atari you say love it, even if it's only Shesi or only Erev, even though all the strings are only vertical, all the strings are only horizontal, but with the Rabbanan, in some cases, in Hilchos Shabbos, you can't rely on that. So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah quotes the Tosfos. Tosfos said that sometimes that Chumra with the Rabbanan carries over to Sukkah as well. So if you have four walls, and even though all the four walls are only one directional love it, that's okay. But a lot of times people don't have four walls. They only have three walls. So if you only have three walls, then you have the chumra midrabbanan that you can't rely on the lavud of shesi without air. It still would be better perhaps to have a crisscross, to have a net. You have more fresh air. Okay. There is such a din. There is a din of doifen akuma. Sometimes you're going to put schach in between, let's say, my backyard. So there are two brick walls, and there are three brick walls. You don't even have to put any walls up. There are three big brick walls, and you just put schach there, and that'll be the mechitza. However, the problem is that the protruding from the building is a concrete construction that's sort of by the windowsill. Some of the people have that. So that concrete is karka. It's not gedule karka. Concrete is offer from the ground that you make it into cement. So the cement is karka. That's not gedule karka. So that's no good for schach min haTorah. So the schach that's directly below it will be schach posel. So if the din is that the fanas have to be within three tvachim to the schach. Sometimes I remember the building next to mine. I live in 24 Bennett, so in 44 Bennett, there used to be a lot of Jews there, a lot of Shomer Shabbos. So they used to make two gigantic sukkahs. So I remember one year, everybody went away to sukkahs to stay by their children. So hardly anybody was there. So they made a gigantic sukkah, but they didn't need so much, they didn't need so many seats there. So they only put schach in the middle of the sukkah, and the schach was not within three tochim to the walls. So then it's no good. The Mishnah says, Beferet, the schach has to reach within three tochim to the walls. So the din is, let's say you have schach posel on the edge. Sometimes you have kosher schach on the edge, but you have the concrete above it or below it. So whenever you have posel schach on top or below the kosher schach, you have to discount that kosher schach. So even if the schach kosher is not within three tochim to the wall, but that space is, it's not empty space, it's not avir, it's filled in with schach posel. So usually if you have schach posel or four tefachim, it's mevatel tziruv. But here there's a din of doifen akuma. The Gemara said that's halacha Moshe Sinai. Up until four amos coming from, the wall goes up, the walls go up like this. And then if you would have schach posel on top, not only would it be good if you have four tefachim of schach posel, which is usually mevatel tziruv between the doifen and the schach. Here, because it's on the edge next to the doifen, so I call it doifen akuma. I visualize it as if the wall curves in. So the doifen akuma, I allow that up until dalet amos into the sukkah. Sometimes, let's say the sukkah has a roof on top, and hardly anybody has, let's say, two roofs on top. So they took off one roof, they didn't take off the other roof. So sometimes you can only sit on this side of the sukkah, you can't sit on the other side. And sometimes you need that wall that's on the other side. So if you have the roof is on, the roof is probably not kosher for schach. It's usually going to be a plastic cover or something. Plastic is synthetic material. It's not gedule karka. So if you have something that's no good for schach, making shade over the same area where you have kosher schach, so you treat all the kosher schach as if it's posel schach. So if the distance between the, if you need the doifen over here and the roof is up over there, so if the doifen enters into dalet amos, into the sukkah, then you can no longer say doifen akum. But if it's anything less than dalet amos, the doifen over here, the wall over here will be mitzdarf to the sukkah. If you're going to have Zion al Zion tvachim over there, on the other side where you picked up the roof. There is a din that the schach, there's a machlekes b'shamay and b'shilo. B'shamay, Rabbi, the opinion that the schach has to be placed on top of the sukkah, l'shem mitzvah. So if a nochri puts it up, it's no good. Or if an isha puts it up, an isha is not mechuyev in sukkah because it's a mitzvah says in shazman groma. And the din says that whoever is ain't a b'toris, whoever is not obligated to observe a certain mitzvah, is incapable of creating lishmo. So if the din would have been like b'shamay, so if a sukkah, if the schach would be placed on top by the nochrim or by the noshim, then it would be possible. We happen to paskan like Beis Hillel, that you don't need lishma, you don't need l'shem mitzvah, all you need is l'shem tzel. So if the nochrim puts it up, it's good if he put it l'shem tzel. But let's say I had walls, the defanus of a sukkah, and someone put something on top just to dry out in the sun. And then they realized, that's good material for a schach. They didn't put it up l'shem tzel at all. They put it up to dry out. So then the Gemara said, that's no good. That's tasav alay min ha'asidas. There's no din of asiyah on the tfanis. The din of asiyah only applies to the schach. The Mishnah has a funny case. There's a stack of hay, and someone climbs on the bottom of the stack and picks out hay, picks out a cavity, and the cavity is zayin al zayin tfachim and ten tfachim tall. So he made the whole tfanis with the schach by pulling out the cavity. He didn't make anything by making an asiyah. The asiyah was by min ha'asiyah. So for the defanus, that wouldn't bother me, but for the schach, that's possible. I remember once when one of my daughters got married in Eretz Yisrael, she got married in between Yom Kippur and Sukkah. So the Shevar Brochah is on Sukkah, so we stayed. So it was a rare year. Raining on Sukkot. That's very unusual for Eretz Yisrael that it should rain on Sukkot. So it was very windy. So there were Sukkot that were built on the fifth floor on a porch, and the schach on the Sukkot on the ground level or on the second floor, the schach fell down, and the schach from the fifth floor flew down in the wind and flew on top of the Sukkot on the second floor, from on top of the sukkah on the ground floor. That's literally tasav leim en hos. Some of the rabbanim said that it's kosher. I think it's 100% incorrect. Some of the rabbanim said that it's kosher because the din is, if you put schach on top of the sukkah, it's good. You put it l'shem tzel, and then you cover it over. So when it's covered over, it's no good. You put a cover on top and it's raining. Then you pick the cover off. So that's a Mordechai quote. Some are of the opinion that that's also tasav leim en hos. So whenever you cut the sukkah and then you took off the cover to make it kosher again, so then the one opinion is you have to pick up every single piece of schach and put it down again. Okay? If it'll be chalamoid, it's proper to be machma like that. Minig always was people are not machma. So the Rishonim say, we paskan that that's kosher. Why? Since the tchilos anochas haschach was be'echsher, so there's no din of tasam and osam. So that's what some of the rabbanim said. Since when they put the schach on top of the top suk on the fifth floor, it was behechsher, even though later it flew down when the wind knocked off the schach from the suk on the second floor. Then the wind blew down the schach from the fifth floor, and flew on top of the suk on the second floor. So it says, since it was put on top of the suk on the fifth floor, behechsher, the tchilas hanochas haschach is behechsher. I think that's a joke. The whole din, it's good if tchilas hanochas haschach, if it's the same sukkah. That is a different sukkah. Flies from the fifth floor to the second floor. So the whole thing may come. That's literally tasav leim en hos. That's for sure no good. This din of doifen akuma that we sometimes come across, that if you have schach posel touching the wall up until dal ramis, I say that's an extension of the doifen. Doifen is akuma. And then you have schach kosher, zayin al zayin over here. It's good. So there's a machloikis. What if the wall, the doifen on the side, doesn't really reach all the way up to the schach? You have to say, good asik mechitza. If you have a mechitza, you have a doifen that's 10 tefachim tall, it doesn't have to touch the schach. It's alpidin, it does have to, but it's considered as if it touches it based on halacha moshe misina. Good means extend, pull up. Good. Asik mechitza, the mechitza, pull up the mechitza, visualize it as if the mechitza goes up. So that's fine if you have schach on top. What if over here you have schach posel on top? You're going to say, good asik mechitza, in order to enable you to say doifen akuma. So do you say trei hilchasa ba'adi hadodi? Good asik mechitza is aloch l'moshe m'sinai, doifen akuma is aloch l'moshe m'sinai. So the Shulchan Aruch says lahokel. Shulchan Aruch is mekel on that. Rabbi Kaveger has a big comment there on Shulchan Aruch. He quotes that the Ran has a machloikis about this. So there are those who are machmer. Shulchan Aruch says lahokel. Yeah, but that's because he's saying good asik mechitza in order to enable you to say doifen akuma. What if you have a different case? What if you have there's a din of chobot rami? Let's say you have a sloppy sukkah constructed in such a sloppy way that half of the schach is up here. Held up over here. The walls are not the same size. So the schach is 7 feet tall over here. And over here, it's 6 feet tall. That's so here it's 10 feet tall. The schach is 10 feet tall over here. And here the schach is only 7 feet tall. And it's not lovud. There's no connection between the schach on top and the schach on the bottom. So that's a din. There's also halacha, a lot of halachas l'moshe m'sinai here. There's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. If the schach on top, above 10 amos, is more than a tefach on tefach, let's say it is, more than half the sukkah is 11 feet tall, and half the sukkah is 7 feet tall, the schach. So if the schach on top, which it is more than tefach on tefach, so you say, chobot rami, I visualize it as if it would be on the same level as the other schach, and it's one solid schach, it's kosher. So this is good. This is good if this is schach and this is schach. What if this is a doifen akuma? What if this is concrete? You have walls. There's a certain hotel in Yerushalayim where most of the people like to eat. In one, there are quite a few sukkahs, but most of the people like to eat in the fancy sukkah, the fancy catered sukkah. So the hotel is built in a circle. And the wall, the front of the outside side of the walls of the hotel serves the tefanis for the sukkah. But the sukkah has concrete because it has pillars with concrete that are extending in. So you can't sit under the concrete. The concrete is possible schach. So they have schach in the middle where other people sit. The schach does not touch the dfanis on the side. And they say, chovet rami. They say, since the concrete is protruding on top, it's more than a tefach on tefach, so you consider it as if it's on the same level as the schach. So it's with the tfanis are within three tefachim to the schach. So that's highly questionable, because chovet rami is a din that if the ceiling is on two different levels, it applies to tumas mace also. Let's say there's a mace under one of these two. There's a roof over here, 11 feet tall, and the roof over here is 7 feet tall, and there's a gezeis man ames under one of them. So the Gemara says, you say, Chavad Ram is considered as if it's one long hemshech, as if it's one roof, and the Tumas Meis goes from one to the other. So that's all because everything is a roof, but over here, he's saying Doifen Akuma. So he's saying that's part of the Doifen. That's not part of the roof. So that doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. That's very questionable. I remember a lot of Rabbanim visited that sukkah, and I asked them, is this sukkah kosher? They all thought it was not kosher. Very unfortunate that the hotel still leaves it like that. They don't correct it. Okay, we should all sit in the kosher sukkah. Now sukkah is, in addition to the mitzvah of sukkah, we have a mitzvah of shaking a lulav. In the Torah, the mitzvah of lulav is only on the first day. And then in the Beis HaMikdash, lulav nitol kol shiva. In Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah applied all 7 days. What do you mean, Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and Sukkah quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Mikdash means the whole old city Yerushalayim. Doesn't only mean the Beis HaMikdash. The whole Ir Atika is included in Mikdash. The Rambam and the Mishnah Torah does not write like that. He just quotes Mikdash as Mikdash. But the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos has that. The Orach Laner wrote the Sefer on Hilchas Sukkah. That's called Bikurei Yankov. That was the first sefer that he wrote. He called it Bikurim, Bikurei Yaakov. Mishnah Berurah quotes it every page, every single page. He quotes from the Bikurei Yankov. So the Bikurei Yankov, imagine the Bikurei Yankov, Rabbi Yankov Etlinger. He lived in the 1800s, the middle 1800s. He was imagining, we'll go to Yerushalayim today. There's no Beis HaMikdash. So he says, according to the Rambam, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that the whole Ir Atika has a din of lulav nitol kol shiva min haTorah. And the Rambam paskens that Kedushas HaMikdash Yerushalayim is kitshel asi lovay. So even if you already davened, let's say, on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, so you already davened in Me'er Shorim, or you davened in Yerushalayim, in any section of Tel Aviv, whatever, then you drove to the Ir Atika in order to listen to duchening, to have it big in the Siyas Kapayim, Chol HaMoed, or whatever, you came to visit the Kaisel HaMaravi. So the Bikur Yankov says, you may be mechuyev to shake a lulav again. Because according to if you put together the two Ramams, both of them are questionable. The Ramam in the Pirush HaMishnayos says, the lulav nitol b'mikdash kol shiva means a whole Ir Atika. The Ramam himself in the Mishnah Torah doesn't say like that. And the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes that Kedusha Yerushalayim is Kitchel Asi Lovay. The Rabbi disagrees with him. So he says, when you ready, said a brocha on the Tilos Lulav in the morning on Chol HaMoed, then you come to the Ir Atika, you can't say a brocha again on the Tilos Lulav. You're ready, Yotze Min HaTorah. And each tzad is questionable, but it's a chumrah. You put together the two chumras. A lot of people go out of their way, dafke, to go to the Kaisel HaMaravi on the same day, after they already davened in Me'er Shorim or whatever, a different section of Yerushalayim, to go to the Kaisel and shake the lulav again without a bracha. According to Taisus, you would need Shalachem for that. For the rest of Sukkot, we pass, and you don't need Shalachem, because after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Bechem Ben Zakkai is Bezdin, the Gemara said Bechem Ben Zakkai when he was a chief rabbi. He was a chief rabbi for 40 years. Gemara says he lived to the age of 120. He learned till the age of, he was in business till the age of 40. Then he retired. I'm almost 80. I can't retire yet. So Rabbi Yechem Azaka retired from business at the age of 40. Then he sat and he learned till the age of 80. At the age of 80, he was the biggest Talmid Chacham around. So they appointed him to be the chief of the Sanhedrin. So during the part of his presidency, part of his, the time he was the Rosh HaSanhedrin, was Bizman Abayis, and part was after the Churban Abayis. I was not sure how many of the 40 years was Bisman Abayis and how many after the Churban Abayis. But his Bezdin made 9 takanas. Some of them had to do with the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was Chorib. So this was Zecher L'Churban, Zecher L'Mikdash. They made a takana, we should check the lulav all 7 days with the Rabbanan, Zecher L'Mikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash has not been around almost 2,000 years, and we would have forgotten all about this din, if not for the fact that we have this takana the Rabbanan. You have to shake a lulav all 7 days. It's only with the Rabbanan, Zecher L'Mikdash, but that's why the Gemara has a machlokes, whether you say a bracha or not. Maybe only we say the Birchas HaMitzvah, Shekedishana B'mitzvah, Yisavet Sivanu, on a mitzvah deraisa. So we paskin not so. We paskin even on Mikra Megillah, and even on Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, and even on the Tilas Lulav Kol Shiva also, you say a bracha all 7 days. But we don't need Shalachem. You only need Shalachem on the first day. On the second day, Sukkis, it's a machloikis in the Ritva, whether you need Shalachem. Why shouldn't you need Shalachem? It's a sveka diayma of the first day. The answer is, Rav Soloveitchik explained, because the takana that you should shake the lulav all 7 days was instituted right after the Churban Bayis Sheni in the year 70. The takana to observe Yantav Sheni Shel Golias was way later. That was during the lifetime of Abai Verova, who lived in Bavel. So their counterparts who lived in Eretz Yisrael made the takana of Yantav Sheni Shel Golias. They fixed the calendar. Until the days of Abai Barabba, they still did Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Hariyah. They waited till the witnesses came. So it was during their lifetime that the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael, Hillel HaSheni, but that they made the calendar, and then they passed, and we should observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So when they introduced Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, there was no need to make it on the second day of Sukkot, because people are shaking the lulav all 7 days anyway. So that's why there was one opinion that they never introduced Yom Tov Sheni. And the Shenish Agolius means that you're not allowed to do melacha on the second day. You don't treat it like halamoid, you treat it like yontif. Okay? But to say that you have to have shalachem, you're shaking lulav anyway, just that you don't need shalachem. So to say you have to have shalachem, so that's why there was a machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Orach. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Orach Laner Sefer, the Bikuri Yankif, who shows that the Shulchan Aruch paskens that you do need shalachem. It's in one line in the Mechaber. It says all the chumras of the first day apply on the second day because of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So we pass, and you do need Shalachem on the second day Yom Tov as well. The din is you have to have all the dalet minim. You have to hold them kederach kedilosam. The Gemara says you have to, since the lulav has mikra din lulav and it's tzarach eged, but hatchilim mishum zekelim yandeir. So you make an eged, you tie together the hadasim. And the Arabis. So the Gemara says, because the lulav has 3/4 of the mitzvah and the esrog is only 1/4, so that's why we hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. Because the lulav has 3/4 of the mitzvah. What if you switch hands? What if the person holds the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel. Now we have the Rabbeinu Hananel printed on the side of the Gemara in the Vilna Shas. In the days of the Magen Avraham, he didn't have a Vilna Shas. He had a Rabbeinu Hananel. Wow, that was research. He had a Rabbeinu Hananel. Balamor also holds like that, that if you held it in the wrong hand, you're not Yotze. So that's why there's a big machlekes if a person is a lefty. Should he hold the normal people, normal? The person is a righty, holds the lulav in the right hand, he has to be in the left hand. What if a person is a lefty? So most poskim hold, they should hold the lulav in the left hand and he has to be in the right hand. And some hold not so, and some hold that it's ma'akeh b'dieved. But that's why in the Mishnah Berurah he says that after you said the bracha on the tilas lulav, you held the lulav in the left hand for the lefty. You held the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand. Then you should switch hands and do the nanuim over again, because maybe there's an opinion that you're not even yotze b'dieved. What if you hold the lulav in the esrog in one hand, you hold the siddur in the other hand? But that's a chumra. Some of the Rishonim, Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef, but quotes some of the Rishonim that you're not yotze. You have to dafka hold the lulav in the esrog in two different hands. That's when you go Hashinus, how can you hold the lulav? How can you hold? You only have 2 hands. So you have to hold the siddur in one hand. So some people will hold the siddur like this and hold the esrog in the right hand somehow. And hold the siddur like this and the lulav, hold the esrog in the left hand and the lulav in the right hand, and hold the siddur in another hand. Have the siddur somewhere else. because there is such an opinion that the Magen Avraham quotes he should be machmir that you shouldn't hold the lulav and the esrog in the same hand. The Rakanti was one of the Rishonim, and he quotes a lot of Kabbalah. So this is quoted on the page. The Taz and Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Rakanti, that someone was shaking lulav and he was holding the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, far away from each other. So that night, after he saw that, the person saw someone else shake like that. So he had a dream that someone was writing Yud-Kei Vav, he wrote Yud-Kei Vav, and then he wrote the last Hey over there. He kept on writing Yud-Kei Vav and the last Hey over there. So when he woke up, he didn't know what in the world is the dream referring to. And then he realized that the Ramban Allah Torah writes that the Dalet Minim represent the Dalet Oisius of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And if you hold the three minim in one hand and the esrog in the other hand far away, that's like writing Yud Kei Vav over here and a hey over there. You have to have the two near each other, but it shouldn't be in the same hand. It should really be in two different hands. Rashi writes on the Gemara, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that even though the eged is not mi'akev b'di'evet, but l'chatchila mishum zekelev yandeyu, you should have an eged. So the eged should be l'chatchila kesher al-gabi kesher. Mishnah Berurah says that we satisfy that requirement by having this woven keshikol, the contraption that they put on the bottom of the lulav to put the hadasim on one side and the arovis on the other side. So that's all woven in such a way that is full of knots. So that's considered a kesher al gabi kesher. You satisfy that requirement. The arovis should really, the hadasim on the arovis should really be 3 tefachim tall, and the lulav has to be 4 tefachim tall. The chatchila should be a tefach above the top of the arovis. A lot of times the arovis are very tall, so you should cut off the bottom of the arovis. You don't need more than 3 tefachim. The chatchila, it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ran on the Rif, the lulav should be at the shedra of the lulav. Shedra of the lulav doesn't go all the way to the top. Shedra is the thick part. So the thick part, you should have a tefach of the shedra protruding above the top of the hadasim and the arovis. The hadasim are the shape of eyes, and the arovis are the shape of lips. That's the way to remember. So they quote Chuvas Rashi. Rashi says the hadasim have to be higher than the arovis. Usually it's not the case. Usually the arovis are much taller than the hadasim, and people leave it like that. So they quote this Peladik Ketshula by Rashi, that if you held the lulav in such a way that the arovis are taller than the hadasim, you're not even yotze b'di'evet. It can't be. How can they say it doesn't make any sense? How can it be that you're not yotze b'di'evet? But that's what Rashi says. We don't understand how it can be. So you should really see to it that the hadasim should be at least slightly taller than the arovis, and the shedra of the lulav should protrude a tefach above the hadasim, which should be slightly higher than the top of the arovis. The stem of the arovis should really be red. Those are mehudadik arovis. And if you have smooth arovis, that's a heder. The Gemara says that if you cook the esrog, it's pasul, or if you soak the esrog in water for more than 24 hours, I say kabbish kemevushal. Would you say kabbish kemevushal on a lulav? In the days of the Gemara, a lot of people do it today also. They take the lulav with the adasim and arovis all tied up together, and they put in a bucket of water to keep it fresh, like you put flowers in a bowl of water that stays fresh for longer. Other people wrap it up and put it in the refrigerator. So if you put it in a bucket of water, so if you put it in on Friday morning, you take it out on Sunday morning, so it's sitting soaking there straight for 24 hours. So that's the discussion in Achrayim. What did the Ramban say about this? They claim that there's a Chuvas, a Ramban that takes a stand on this, but they say Kovish Kamavushal and the Lulav and the Hadasim and the Arabs. If you say Kovish Kamavushal, then you would passel the bottom few inches of the Lulav Hadasim and Arabs. You would consider it as if it's snipped off. So it may not be kosher if you snip off the bottom part. That's a question. Maybe kabbish kemevushal only makes sense on a food item. On wood, a lulav is a piece of wood. It's a branch of a tree. So it doesn't make sense to say kabbish kemevushal on wood. But there's a pischei tshuva in Hilchos Basa B'cholov quotes this discussion. And the Achrayim had two different girsas in the Tshuvas HaRamban. whether it's good or not. There are many more fascinating dinim. The Mishnah Brura on Hilchas Lulav and on Hilchas Sukkah is fantastic. Yes, it's clear that the different parts of the Mishnah Brura were written by different people. And Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Lulav, it's unbelievable, full of lomdish things. A lot of it is not Negel HaLocha at all, just Pilpulim and Gemara. It's very, very strong for learning. I want to wish everybody a good Niyantiv, a good Gibench Yom. We should all be healthy. No one should get sick from sitting in the Sukkah. Thank you very much.